There we go. Thank you. I have no relationships to disclose. And before I get started, I'd like to also acknowledge, I'm not going to read all their names, but these are the names of all of the ATCs who also participated in this research. And again, greetings from the University of South Florida College of Public Health. Since I've been here, I've seen a lot of pictures of photos of Chicago and the skyline. Well, there's Tampa, in case you didn't know that. There's our college and our university seal. Okay, so I want to begin with talking a little bit about the literature. You know, the literature shows that there are about a million sports injuries reported annually to 10 to 17-year-olds. And as we all probably know, they lead to losses of thousands of dollars each year, and they are one of the leading reasons for school-related hospitalizations. Now, national data do exist in sports injuries, but they're not specific often to states, and there were none specific to the state of Florida, nor included all the sports that we played in our high schools. In fact, there was no comprehensive data source that captured important indicators like incidence, prevalence, risk factors, and most importantly, the exposure information for our high school athletes. So in order to meet some of these needs, back in 2007, we developed the Smart Injury Registry that was going to be used for high school sports injury surveillance. Now the registry is part of the initiatives of SMART, of the University of South Florida College of Medicine, which is our sports medicine and athletic-related trauma institute. Now, the institute does do treatment as well as provides educational opportunities as well. So I also want to say that when we began, we had funding from the state legislature as well to help us with these efforts. As we began in 2007, the SMART leaders hired and trained 10 certified athletic trainers, and they were originally placed in 10 high schools in West Central Florida, and they were going to serve the medical needs, obviously, of the athletes, but also to test our new surveillance tool or our registry. Now, how the schools were selected, largely based on their willingness to participate with us, but also we looked at some prior information about their injuries and their need for a certified athletic trainer. The foundation of our registry was developed from software known as SimTrack. And SimTrack is part of a software group from Premier Software. And this company largely did professional sports software, especially for baseball. However, one thing that was not in the software that we had to add were exposure variables. And we did add those, and they were defined as the number of athletes at each practice and or competition each week. However, we also found we had to add many other variables as we searched the literature. In fact, we made about 1,000 changes to their software. We added things related to demographics, level of play, time and season, equipment, rules compliance, the injury mechanism, its activity, environmental conditions, field locations, positions, concussion information, and injury outcomes. And they worked with us to modify the tool so that we could include these variables. When we began, data were collected and entered electronically by our ATCs, and it was sent by email to me and my colleagues once a week. Everything was blinded, and of course, we had the approval of the USF Institutional Review Board. As we were establishing the registry, we did determine content validity. We used a panel of experts to make sure that the variables we were including were accurate, and also we checked the accuracy and the reliability of the ATC data collection procedures. Those were consistently verified and still are throughout the year before the ATCs are placed in the schools. We used this system of data collection very happily from 2007 to 2011. Well, what happened in 2011, as with many state universities, we were hit with cost containment measures, and we were looking at all ways to cut back somewhat. We did have to pay a $10,000 a year consulting fee to Premier Software to continue to use the base, and they were very instrumental in helping us to modify it consistently. However, we began to look at other databases that we could use that did not cost as much, and we did investigate quite a few, and we ended up with High School Rio. This was very advantageous because it allowed us to be part of a national system, a national database, and also provided, as you'll see in a minute, many of the same variables that we were using. We switched to RIO beginning in the 2012-2013 year and continue to present. Now, RIO is a sports injury surveillance system funded by the CDC and other sources such as the National Federation of High School Associations, of course developed by Dr. Don Comstock, who's with us today. And the data set and definitions, what we liked about it, as I said, were nearly identical to what we had developed for SimTrack. And also, RIO is an internet-based system where the ATCs could submit and update reports when needed, and this was advantageous to what we were previously using. We followed the RIO definition for injury, which was also very close to ours. Injury occurs as a result of participation in an organized high school competition or practice. It requires medical attention by a team physician, a certified athletic trainer, personal physician, emergency department, urgent care facility, and does result in restriction of the high school athlete's participation for one or more days beyond the day of the injury. However, any fracture, concussion, or dental injury we reported regardless of restriction status. So we collected data on the following sports: football, baseball, softball, cheerleading, volleyball, and both men and women's sports for swimming, track, cross country, and soccer. For basketball, lacrosse, which was fairly new to the state of Florida, we've had data on that only for the past 2 years. Wrestling, other sports, in the spring, the girls play football or flag football that we have data on. We are in Florida, so for ice hockey, we had no cases. And for field hockey, no cases either. Okay, so for the methods, the athlete and exposure data were collected by the ATCs. Now, in this, because we're dealing with RIO, they were reported in weekly reports to RIO, and then RIO sent it to us on a monthly basis. Now, in 2014-2015, each year we gradually increased the number of high schools, and we were up to 18 high schools in West Central Florida. We had to go back through our institutional review process since we were using a new system, and that was approved. And we use SAS 9.4 for the analysis. One of the things I always like to report from the yearly data is the ATC participation in the schools, because I think that's so critical. We had complete data from 17 of our 18 schools that showed that our ATCs during the year supervised over 7,600 athletes from our enrolled schools. They were present at nearly 13,000 practices and over 2,500 games. And then they also supervised all those athletes that were coming from competing schools. When you added those up, there were over 43,000 athletes. Now, as for the results, well, for exposure rates, when you look at practices, the leading rate of injury per 1,000 exposures was for football at 2.91, but that was followed by men's cheerleading at 2.23 and women's wrestling at 2.16. Now, for competitions, you are seeing higher rates. Football leads at 13.1, and that was followed by men's lacrosse at 6.8 and men's wrestling at 6.55. Well, for the frequencies, how many injuries occurred over the course of the year? 726. As you can see, by far, the greatest number of injuries at 395 were for football, and then followed off greatly for boys wrestling at 39 and men's soccer, then 35, and then down from there. Most of our injuries took place during the regular sports season, 74%, and during practices during the first 1 to 2 hours. Now, as for whom was injured, basically it was pretty consistent across levels. Sophomore, 27.7%, and as you can see, that was followed by seniors, juniors, and freshmen. The principal body parts injured were the head and face at 25.9%, the knee at 16.8%, and ankle 14.9%. The leading types of injuries that occurred were ligament sprains, 27.7%, concussions, and muscle strains at 11.6%. These were not very serious injuries. Most did not require surgery, as you can see, over 90%, and they were new. Most athletes did return to play in 10 to 21 days, 24.9%, followed by 3 to 6 days at 18.9%. The injuries, and you could check for more than one response here, the injuries were mostly evaluated, though, by the ATCs. That's how, and then followed by a general physician. And the leading assessment methods for evaluation by the ATC, followed by then X-ray. So for girls and boys sports injuries, for all of our sports, boys had a significantly greater injury rate compared to girls. And this was also true for injuries in competitions and practices. As you can see there, the rate is about 3 times in some cases with significant levels. However, when we looked at sports played by both boys and girls, we didn't see any significant differences, and that was new this year. We usually saw significant difference, usually leading to girls being injured more often, and last year we saw that especially with soccer. So for our summary, over the year we know that football, wrestling, soccer, and basketball really do, when you look at the ends, continue to dominate the number of sports injuries. Our leading body sites of the head and face and the knees and ankles are commonly what you see in the literature, and that correspond to the leading injuries like ligament sprains, concussions, and muscle strains. Now, some of the limitations, because the ATCs could not be at every sport, at every practice and competition all the time, some of the data, especially away games other than football, were supplied by the coaches, and sometimes the coaches for other sports as well. We did have some missing data. It did not significantly affect the findings, though. We did have the pregnancy leave of one ATC, but she conveniently did that over the winter break. So that worked out very well for all of us. So we didn't miss much in terms of recording injuries. And one ATC did leave about a week before the final season ended. But the exposure rates were very similar, so we feel that that did not have much of an effect. Of course, not all injured athletes report their injuries to the ATCs. We'd like to think that they do, but, you know, they may not. And also, of course, our study schools are in West Central Florida, so generalizations with this data beyond those schools and programs should be done with caution. As for the future, well, we're going to continue our data collection with the inclusion of new schools in different counties. We are hopefully in the future going to do some special studies on helmet use for girls lacrosse. Florida has decided that all girls that play lacrosse have to wear a helmet. So there's a new ASTM standard for this, F3-137-15, for women's lacrosse headgear. So we're going to be studying some pre and post injuries related to that new requirement. And of course, what we do with all this data is we turn around and develop targeted injury prevention programs in these high schools that address their particular injuries. What all of these high schools get separate reports on their particular school and their particular injury, so that the ATCs with SMART, one of the things SMART does is they also do educational interventions. And with these data, they're armed with information, then they go back into the schools, and they've done many concussion programs, they've done ACL programs, and many other related, because we have the data. We are working on new proposals we submitted to expand a little bit of what we're doing to determine the epidemiology of sports injuries of children, younger children, about ages 5 to 11, who are playing in recreational leagues, and we feel that this is really needed in the field. And also, we always hope that our findings will really spur our school districts to hire ATCs in our high schools, and as we heard, the importance of them in the middle schools as well, to support the decline of sports injuries. So on behalf of USF, the College of Public Health, and all of the ATCs that are there that participated in this research, we say thank you.